This is Scott Becker with the Scott Becker Business Podcast. I'm thrilled today to have a couple very special guests with us. We're joined today by Oscar Cornejo. Oscar is a student at Northwestern University who's doing tremendous research around undocumented immigrants and sort of their experience in the United States and more. He himself is what's called a Shuler Scholar. He comes out of the Shuler Scholars Program. Elaine Teeter is the communications manager for the Shuler Scholar Program. She'll give us a moment to tell us what the Shuler Scholar Program is, and then we'll talk to Oscar about his research. He's currently a sociology PhD major at Northwestern University. Elaine, can you take one moment to introduce yourself and just give us 30 seconds on the Shuler Scholars Program?
Sure, thank you. I am Elaine Teeter. I'm the communications manager at Shuler Scholar Program. And the Shuler Scholar Program is a college access program that really equips bright, motivated youth with the support they need throughout high school to get them ready to go to top liberal arts colleges all around the country. And we really work with students who are often first generation, underrepresented students, often come from homes that have lower incomes, and we really want to give them the support and preparation that they don't often get during high school so that they can go to these top liberal arts colleges in the country.
And Oscar, take a moment and introduce yourself.
Sure. So I am a PhD student of sociology at Northwestern University. I just started my fourth year. I come from Mexico. I was born there and came to the U.S. to the Chicagoland area when I was five. I've grown up in the northern suburbs of Chicago. Now I'm a DACA recipient, the recipient of Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, and I've been undocumented now for over 20 years. So I try to bring my own personal experience as undocumented into the scholarly field to address any questions or aspects of undocumented immigration that other scholars may have missed or misinterpreted.
Or don't understand because they don't stand in the shoes that you stand in yourself, really.
Exactly. I sort of have this unique, think of it like a pair of glasses or lens. You know, when you see society, you're able to pick up immediately on some things that perhaps for others might have been hiding in plain sight or just ignored totally. You know, when I'm doing these interviews with other undocumented immigrants, I'm able to pick up on these things that they're saying, and I can go further while some other folks might have just completely glossed them over.
Right, and other people might both be cautious about asking because they don't know what to ask, and they also just don't have nearly the depth of knowledge that you have. Talk for a moment, Oscar, about some of the things you're learning in doing the research you're doing. Anything that surprised you?
I think one of the most surprising aspects of my research in interviewing folks like myself is we come from all over the world. We often think of undocumented immigrants just from Mexico, even in Latin America. But I've been able to talk with undocumented immigrants from Africa, Eastern Europe, Asia. And when you hear their experiences, they often talk about these things that I have experienced, but they've experienced them in such unique ways, such as, their parents just withholding their status completely away from them until much later in their life, or the way that they came into the U.S. by overstaying a visa. I crossed the border when I was young through the San Diego-Tijuana border entry, but hearing someone talk about going to the London airport and then overstaying their visa a couple months later, very different complete experience. Or when you talk people from Eastern Europe and they're talking about this unique intersection of being undocumented and white, and that whole type of navigation around both white American citizens, but also undocumented immigrants and being sort of invisible on both groups.
And take a moment, fascinating, truly fascinating. Talk for a moment, Oscar, about crossing the border. Do you remember that as a kid, or were you so young that you don't really remember that?
So I was five when we came over. It was the year 2000. And actually, I do remember that border crossing. It was myself and my three-year-old brother. My father had already come a year before, but he had saved up enough money to bring us, pay the human smuggler to bring us over. My mom also came, but she separated through a different entry point. And I came in, and it was a woman, the smuggler's wife, who pretended, you know, we were her family, or through these fake passports, and we crossed. And I remember crying and feeling so confused, and I was worried, like, what's happening? And I remember that day. And then afterwards, the next memory I have is being with my great uncle in the orchard that he lived in, and just smelling the vegetables and smelling all the different things he grew and took care of in the Green Mountains of California. And so that kind of green landscape is the first image I have of the U.S. And then afterwards, we came to live in the Chicagoland area.
And I bet the Chicagoland area is not as pretty day to day as those beautiful green orchards, but a different world, I assume.
Right. But we have, you know, the beautiful waters of Lake Michigan.
Yeah, 100%. So talk a little bit about living as an undocumented immigrant, your parents living as undocumented immigrants. What's that like? Is it always the fear that you'll be deported, or always the fear that if you get pulled over, a policeman's going to treat you differently, or you're going to end up in jail? What is that like as an undocumented immigrant?
Mm-hmm. I think of it as walking in a dark tunnel. You just don't know where you're going, and all you can really do is walk in one step at a time to try to plan what could possibly happen. And so I think for the most part, and when I grew up here in the suburbs of Chicago, I didn't really know the implications of my status. It wasn't really until the Great Recession happened that I started to understand that to be undocumented was the possibility of going back to Mexico, being removed, and of experiencing family separation. I didn't understand it until much later that it involved a sense of exclusion, a sort of limitations and restrictions from what a lot of my peers have access to, you know, healthcare, federal financial aid, even the mobility across space. You know, before DACA, you know, I didn't have, well, my parents didn't have the possibility of a driver's license. And so having to face the dangers of that. And so you are always scared. You're always living in terror. But sometimes you do forget that you're undocumented. You just live your day-to-day life. And it's not until something triggers it that you realize, oh, I can't do that. Like when my peers or my friends say, let's go to Canada, or because when I went to college in Dartmouth, a lot of my friends wanted to go up to Canada. We were right there. And I'm like, I can't do that. Or when I went to New Mexico and they're like, oh, let's go close down to the border. And I cannot do that. And so, you know, that great restriction, that freedom of mobility is something I didn't really experience. And so it's sort of a crushing experience in a dark tunnel.
And talk for a moment. Dartmouth, Northwestern. Talk about the immigrant experience and some of the drive and resources and energy of our immigration, of our immigrants, and sort of that energy and greatness that they can bring to our nation.
Sure. So I was fortunate enough when I entered high school to join the Schuller Scholar Program, which I think of it as a lighthouse in that sea of uncertainty, in that dark tunnel. Really, they helped me A through Z with everything. As a first generation undocumented immigrant, I did not know at all how to navigate the U.S. I didn't know how to navigate higher education. Actually, I thought you applied to college after you finished high school. And so Schuller sort of became this moment where I started to grapple more with the possibilities rather than the impossibilities of my life. So despite having this status, that I could actually go on and actually study and follow my dreams. And I think of the sacrifices as well as my parents. My father's always talking about the great contradictions of the economic contributions that people like him have in, on the U.S. He's undocumented. He's a cook. And so he's able to continue to help the American economy, contribute to Social Security, pay taxes, and but never be considered a member of this society and never feel like you actually belong. And so while we may be kind of economic units in this society, we're never actually treated as full human members or as actual human beings in general. We can see that as well with the current administration. And so I see, documented immigrants, we're always living in the shadows. We're sustaining the society. We're an integral part of this country, but yet we're excluded and othered and rendered really exploitable.
Right, because you're at mercy and you're at risk. You often are exploitable because you have to take jobs because there's a whole set of jobs that aren't available because you're in sort of that gray area as an undocumented immigrant. So you really can be exploited horribly.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, let me ask you a final question, Oscar. Optimistic about the future. Are you optimistic about the future here in the United States?
To be quite honest, that's such a difficult question to answer about my future. And so with the current administration, I have little hope. You sort of plan for the worst, maybe hope for the best, but you just don't know. And so to give you an example, my father, over the years has been building a house in Mexico in the worst case scenario, we are removed from the country, we're deported, we have a home, we have a house to go live to, and we're not just stuck at the border or wherever they deport us. And so that's always sort of the strategy and the life that you have, preparing for the worst to come, but sort of fighting and continue to fight the good fight. Even though I'm a DACA recipient, Donald Trump has ensured that he will continue to challenge and remove it. Back when I started in 2017, he removed DACA. Fortunately, I had renewed before he rescinded it, and I had two more years. And I wondered and I asked my department, can I finish my degree? Can I get my master's and PhD? They fortunately went to bat for me with graduate school, and they said, you can finish your degree with or without work authorization, with or without your DACA. So I said, great, I can finish, in these next 6 years. But afterwards, worst case scenario, if DACA is removed and I don't have work authorization, how can I actually practice my degree? Recently, with the Supreme Court case that has really limited, DACA, again, with Trump's actions, now only 1 year, no advanced parole, no new applicants. Now I have to renew my DACA every year, pay $500. So at this point, we're not even at breadcrumbs. We're like even, just whatever is left as, from the whole plate, less than breadcrumbs. And so I wonder what else he will do if, worst case scenario for me, he is reelected. And so if I can't practice my degree, I do not have work authorization. My options are really limited, Scott. I could potentially go back to Mexico or Canada or Europe, but then I cannot come back for 10 years. I trigger what's called the bars to reentry. And so I sort of live in exile while my family's here in the U.S. in Chicago, while I'm in God knows where in the world, 10 years banned. And so it would sort of be a continuation of what I'm experiencing now, never really belonging to one space, always rendered removable from a particular context or place, always displaced, always uprooted, stuck in between, so to speak. But I sort of take it every day, day by day, and see what happens. That's all I can really do at this point. Fortunately, Schuller has been able to continue, supporting me throughout, and with the documentary that we've also been trying to expand upon, something I worked on and trying to really change the discourse around undocumented immigration, remove the language that we've been using, illegal aliens, using undocumented immigrants instead. And so you sort of shift into the political necessities to fight and make sure you know, that your story and your life is out there, because these are actual human lives. These are people that are being impacted. We're not just some abstract, you know, threat coming in here to take your jobs or anything. We're actually, we've experienced similar things. If we think about the U.S. and Mexico in particular, a lot of the economic policies that the U.S. has implemented in Mexico has caused the conditions for the migration of unauthorized immigration into the U.S. And so the U.S. has a long history of creating its own problems, but yet blaming the person or individual for that without, you know, considering the whole problem in its entirety.
Well, certainly there's no question that U.S. policy is a mess on so many issues, including this one. You have a powerful story. You're a powerful speaker. Oscar, it is a great honor to get a chance to interview and talk with you about these issues today. We wish you great luck. We wish to help. Thank you so much for joining us today. Just a powerful story, and we wish you just fantastic luck.
I really appreciate that, Scott. Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you for joining the Scott Becker Business Podcast. Elaine Teeter with the magnificent Schuler Scholars Program. Oscar Cornejo, a great example of the best the world has to offer. Magnificent to have you on today, Oscar. Thank you.
Thank you.